Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
Thank you, Scott, and welcome to this edition. I'm Dave Cole with Scott Winteroff, the social media expert for real estate. And Scott, tonight I thought we'd talk about one of my favorite topics from a marketing point of view, and we call it positioning yourself for more clients. And I've got some examples to give.
Ooh, hello everyone. That's always an important topic, how to get more clients. Something that I know I think about all the time. So excited to talk about tonight on this episode.
Yeah, me too, Scott. You know, part of it is that what we mean by positioning yourself for more clients is as you're out there meeting and greeting people, it might be just in, you know, day-to-day life. I know I've talked to some agents that will still even be in the, you know, the grocery store or in line somewhere and try to strike up a conversation, be able to say, hey, I'm in real estate. Or it might even be with family members in some type of a group, or even in a professional setting. For it's not only introducing yourself, you want to get the name out there, but the thing is, and that's what we're going to focus on in this edition, is to give them a reason to remember you. Don't be general. While it's true that, many of you might want to, you know, be able to say, hey, you'll do a deal where, you know, wherever it may happen to be located on all kinds of properties, but the idea is to have that one thing that they'll remember you for. So, all right, a couple of examples, and I just want to use that brokers that I've either worked with or just come across over the years. And a couple of these actually go back like 20 years or so, and that I either am not or did not work with. The point being that all these years later, I still remember this as an example, and that's exactly the point that I want to bring up. The first example I want to give is actually an agent in the Chicago area, and her life took a circumstance that she actually, unfortunately, went through a rather bitter divorce and is a real estate agent with one of the major firms. And so what she decided to do was make that her specialty. And so not that, you know, you're out there, it's hard to aggressively look for people that are about to or maybe going through a divorce. But from a real estate agent's point of view, that's important. That actually could be as many as three transactions. It's possible that the couple involved in the divorce needs to sell their property quickly in order to settle an estate. If and when that's the case, both people will probably or will need a new home. So this was her thing, and having been through the experience herself and probably worse than other divorces, that's kind of a specialty of hers. And so it's been the kind of thing when I, you know, do hear about that unfortunate circumstance, it's, you know what, there is an agent out there in this area that can and at least is experienced and works with those types of situations. So that's one example. On probably a more pleasant note than that, there's a this was a fellow out in the Los Angeles area, and this was also a few years ago. And what happened, and sometimes things just start that way, he got started involved working with a client that happened to be a doctor, and was just looking for a new home for he and his wife and his family, and he helped with that. And it turned out that this doctor liked his services, referred another doctor in the group his way. And in getting the idea of working with doctors, and also he wanted to expand from residential into possibly handling commercial business. So what he did was he went off on his own and formed, and he called the office at the time, Medical Realty. And so his idea was that he could approach doctor groups for practices and things like when you have a practice where they're renting or leasing maybe a floor or part of a building, to say, hey, maybe the practice would like to get your own building, your own space, or trying to work with them that way. And with his residential experience, if let's say they were looking to expand or get a building and relocate, that he could help them on the residential side and all that with their move. So it became the combination of residential and commercial for medical professionals. Now, of course, between, you know, you and I, Scott, it's not like he was going to turn down any other type of residential or commercial business, but the point being he had a specialty, and if someone was a doctor or even a nurse or something in the medical profession and happened to hear of or know somebody who was moving, whether professionally or personally, there was somebody that knew them, you know, knew that business to contact them. And that's probably the perfect example of what we're talking about in this edition.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, what's interesting too is that positioning has changed a lot over the years in terms of how you market your practice or how you market your office. Because, I mean, with ways in with digital, with the web and with social, is that you can position yourself in different channels where you'll best reach your audience. Because at the end of the day, you know, really what we're trying to do is build trust with your prospect, right? With someone who's prospective, you want to build trust. And being able to show them how you relate to them is a good way to sort of build that immediate first level layer of trust. And then this is actually something I talk about in the Reaction platform, which is something that is real estate focused learning content that I've created. And ultimately, I always sort of stress really what is your ideal client? Because, you know, yeah, everyone wants to have the executives or the somebody who obviously the wealthy and they want to upgrade their thing, but who really is going to relate to you? Because those are probably your best ideal clients. Because people, let's face it, people trust people who are like them. You know, when I go out and I see someone who's like me, I'm going to probably trust them more than somebody who's not necessarily an exact fit. And that's not always the case, but for the most part, people trust people who are like them. And if you can immediately show them how you relate to them, then you can build that level of trust and hopefully get the sale faster. And just because of that connection that they can build with you immediately.
Right. Also, Scott, just on your point, this is something that this guy actually started and got involved in this. And it was years ago before the social media ability that we have now started. And so just to carry the point further, if he were to be starting that today or somebody that has that type of a specialty, now you can look to attract followers who are in the medical profession. You've got even more opportunities to reach them more specifically by having that specialty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in everything from having specific landing pages or websites focused on that particular piece of business to having social media accounts like a LinkedIn or a Facebook account specific to that particular niche of audience. I think there's lots of opportunity in terms of digital positioning. And really the way that I look at it in ways that we've talked about, Dave, and I know in our sort of strategy sessions, is that we go and you look at it digitally from like sort of a hierarchy. So you'll have like your personal brand as a realtor or as a real estate professional, I should say. And then you work your way down to your different specialties. And that sort of creates like an inverted pyramid if you look at it that way. But also what it's doing is it's also a sort of a sales funnel, because you're looking at and tracking ways that people are best coming to you. So if you see that there's more business coming through the medical commercial space, then that's a good way for you to say, okay, let's double down on this particular marketing method, digital marketing method, because then you can best say, this is what's working. Let's go with this right now. And you still can sell. And just like you were saying, you can still sell to anyone and you can still reach other audiences. Those just maybe aren't your ideal clients, because those people are harder to get and they come by less frequently.
Right. Another example of this, Scott, that I've got is a lady that obviously an agent up in the Minneapolis area. And this was also a few years ago. And she wound up, and sometimes these things just kind of happen by coincidence, mm-hmm. where you see the opportunity and pick up on it. So there was she was in an area where a lot of the new home developments, the single family home developments, were being built. And you'll have situations where a builder will either, maybe they'll buy something a mile away and kind of start the next development over, or another builder will come in and you'll have something like where it's a development might be, you know, Oak Hills Woods, And then the next development down the road is Oak Hills Estates or something like that, where it's got a similar name for a community or a lake or a park or something near there, and then just different variations of it so that, you know, it's kind of like this whole growing area. And so she was able to work and get, we'll just use Oak Hills Estates, as I think it was about 15 to 20 single family home development. She happened to do well and get a couple of listings sold in this new development. So what she did was she decided to brand herself as the Oak Hills agent or the Oak Hills lady. And that's what she did by getting the couple of buyers into this one development that was, you know, as they say, realtor friendly. That led to her getting another referral in the area. It wasn't at that property, but she took it. And so again, by marketing herself locally and now with, as we're saying, the power of social media and the right type of campaign, that this way, any of those properties in that particular area, then they are at least thinking, oh, she handles that. She might know the ins and outs, how to negotiate with that builder or what's involved with moving in there, things about the schools. And of course, she would, you know, sell or work with buyers in, you know, any place she could get her hands on. But again, it's the idea of that specialty being associated with it, because she made sure that she got her branding and did social media wasn't quite as advanced today, but did that and did some mailers and even run some, as they say now, conventional advertising to get her brand out there, which would then make it difficult for anybody else to do that. But of course, that's still one community with plenty to go around for her. And obviously, everybody listening, located all around the country. So it's again, thinking like that, you're going to think, well, you know, a buyer would think, who do we want to contact? An agent that says they'll help us anywhere. Or, oh, we want to move to the Oak Hills area. Let's call the Oak Hills lady.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially even just messaging on your website, having a picture of you near the developments that you quote unquote specialize in, you know, is definitely a good way to sort of visually message to people that you are the expert in this particular community, as well as, I mean, I'm sort of familiar with what you're saying too. I know over the years working for a home builder, you know, it was one called the Highlands, one called the Hills, one called the Farm. Same place, just different branding, usually same developers and everything. But ultimately, today too, even if people are searching on like Google and they type in, you know, custom built homes or home developments or, you know, homes near X, then you as a realtor can really get out there and position your ads in the search engines on top of those particular queries, which is something that we help people do and get strategic with. So yeah, for sure. Definitely a great way, a great idea, Dave, in terms of positioning and branding yourself for a particular development. Love it.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things that you need to do. There's another example, which again comes from the Chicago area where we're at. There is a broker that also owns his own office, but the people are working for him. And what he does is he's got a lot of listings and has, done, you know, represented for, it's like hundreds of homes in certain areas of the south side and south suburbs of Chicago. And so what he does, and he's a real estate broker like, you know, all of you listening, but what he does is he actually, and it's, you know, this is takes a lot of years in the business, but it's the point of positioning, is he has himself positioned as a builder who is a broker, even though he doesn't do any developing and has not built homes. What he does when he goes on a listing presentation or to be interviewed about representing the sellers is he actually requires them to make certain improvements in their home, that their kitchen needs to have this type of cabinetry or this type of upgrade, and comes through with this list, and as a result does not take everybody that wants to list with him, which, good for him, he's in the position to do that. But then what he does, because any place that he represents and sells has this criteria with it, So in other words, you know that if you're buying a property he's representing, it has this, that, and the other. It has been through this, that it's almost like he's put his stamp of approval on it physically by requiring that certain criteria be met. And as a result, he's very successful at doing that. And because he'll work on getting, you know, people in, contractors in that do the rehabbing, he has this whole team that works for him, and that enables him to position himself as a broker builder, which there kind of really isn't any such thing, but that's his niche. And granted, that's a very strong example of what we are talking about. But again, Scott, this is the point that we want to bring up. This is what we mean by positioning yourself for more clients. And again, that's very high-end and advanced, but I want to bring the point out that we're you know, use that as an extreme example of finding that niche and having ways that even other agents and brokers, besides the public that you're reaching during all, you know, all these different means, to even have people within the industry say, hey, you know what, this would be a great listing for such and such to handle. That's what we're getting at with this podcast today.
Hmm. I mean, excellent points, Dave. I mean, everyone's got to have a guy, or I should say got to have a person, you know, but how can you be that person for someone, you know, and really focus in on a particular area that you can excel in? So I think absolutely a great idea for how to get more sales. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. One last example, and this is, it's positioning, but it's also, he's positioning for himself as well as his clients. There's this is another guy in Chicago that actually happens to handle a lot of rentals. That's become kind of his specialty, and not a lot of the people listening to, you know, this edition are, and that's fine. There might be, you know, one agent out of an office of 20 that handles rentals, but those that do, if they position themselves right, can also do very well. And in fact, this particular guy, he not only handles rentals, but he's also an investor that owns some of the properties that he rents out. So what he does is he's positioned as, you know, the rental agent, but he rents out houses, not so much the, you know, apartment in the middle of a row of apartment buildings. So it's renting houses, sometimes long-term rentals of condos. So by, in this case, it's what I guess you'd call a serious rental. It may be for a rent to buy, somebody that's long-term, a more secured situation, and not the I'll try this apartment for 6 months type of thing. But one of the things that he does, and agents realize this for him, to kind of help what we call indirectly qualify a potential tenant, is he wants to see, are they serious? You know, are they really want this place, or are they just going to a showing? And what he does every week is he will schedule showings at whatever property he's looking at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. His reasoning is the vast majority of people do not have anywhere else, any event, any work, any school, anything else that they have to be at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And he reasons if they're serious about that specific property, they will show up. If they show up at 7:20, he's gone. He doesn't mind getting up early, which is a benefit to this. So this way, he already knows if they say 7 o'clock Saturday morning and they're there at that time, his chances are pretty good of completing that rental. But on the other hand, I mean, the other point is he's not wasting a lot of his time on scheduling showings and people don't show up or having to be at the property, which frees him up to do his other marketing and his other work. So that, to some extent, is, it's positioning yourself, but it's also a way to kind of like narrow the focus. And that's a little bit of time management, which is a separate podcast. But I just wanted to bring that up in terms of positioning, that even for, and not really an open house, but for scheduling a showing, maybe to do that in an odd time. Or he's tried this a couple of times where he's actually scheduled 2 or 3 people for 7 o'clock Saturday morning, figuring, okay, then one will show up. And if one gets there 5 minutes later, they see that at, not at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, but at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning, somebody else is already looking at that place. That puts emergency in for both people. So again, something to think about. And it's all about, as we're saying, Scott, having a strategy, no matter what part of the, you know, of the business that you're in and how that can help you.
Yeah, I mean, I could see 7 a.m. on a Saturday. If you get someone who comes to that, they're definitely serious. No doubt about that.
So. Right. So anyway, that's kind of what I had for some of the examples. And of course, something that, you know, we can get into a little bit further in the weeks to come. And in fact, for those listening, maybe you are or know of that type of an example. It's something we haven't really talked about yet on these podcasts, but we certainly want to hear from you folks. If you, you know, are sitting there going, hey, you know what, I know somebody that's done that, let us know. We'd love to feature them. But that's it from here, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. If someone has a tip or a strategy they want to share and want to get in touch with us, we definitely would be happy to hear what you have to say, and maybe even invite you to join us on the show if you want to share some great strategies for amping up your marketing for real estate in all types of areas. So, Dave, I think that's a great way to wrap up the show. Any final sign-off for today?
No, just to remind everybody to, as I say, take that specialty, take your favorite thing, take what you're best at, or take a situation that's recently happened and be able to pick up on that, give people a reason to remember you for something very specific.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple iTunes or Google Play or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.